League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Now, I was one of the people who at school absolutely loved maths, ended up taking it at A-level, and one of my heroes, I'm delighted to welcome to the show now, the wonderful Johnny Ball. Good morning, Johnny.
Morning, good morning.
Wow, lovely to talk to you, sir. I think I was probably quite unique, or was I, in loving maths at school?
There were very few of us, except in my class, when I was in primary school, we all loved maths. Our teacher seemed to get it right. He just got it right.
Yeah.
And that, I think they didn't have the pressure they have today. Today they have a pressure to get through a curriculum on time to a certain standards. Mm. And it's that bores the kids, that drive for a certain standard. It's boring.
Yeah. I interesting, in your preface, in your book, you started by saying mathematics means everything to me. And your earliest recollection was really interesting, playing fives and threes.
Dominoes, but it's got to be double nine dominoes. My dad always said double six dominoes are for wimps.
I didn't even know there were double nine dominoes.
With double nine dominoes, it's wonderful. I was too young to pick them up. I couldn't hold, because you have seven, and three and four in the other. But I couldn't pick them up, so I just stacked them up on their side, facing me. And what you have to do is make the ends add up to numbers divisible by five and three. So if you've got double eight, that's 16. That's useless. If you've got double seven, that's 14. That's useless. But if you get them at both ends, you've got 16 plus 14 is 30, which is 10 threes and 6 fives, and you score 16 points.
My goodness!
And you whiz round the pegboard. And that very, very young, and it was just wonderful.
I love it. So whatever got you from just liking maths to ending up making a career of it?
Well, it was weird. I kept reading maths. I left with two O-levels. My secondary school, I failed badly. I had two illnesses and missed half of autumn terms in two consecutive years. So I went from Form 2B, 3C, 4D, lower 5E, and finally 5E because they didn't have a 5F. Bottom set. But then they saw I'd got 100% in maths in the O-level. So they came and looked at my maths and they said, oh, God, you've got quite an amazing brain. So I had, and I left, and I started reading maths while I did things, and I got in engineering, and then I went in the forces, and I was surrounded by boffins in the forces, and in guided missiles testing, and lock-on radar testing, new technology, and I was surrounded by boffins, and this scientific bent I was like a duck in water. It was just fabulous.
Wow.
That's how it all started. So my confidence had grown now, despite having this awful early days. But what happened, I was writing comedy for children's television, and they said, if you had a series of your own, what would you do? And I said, I'd do a show on maths, I think.
Whoa.
What? And they looked, full stop. So they gave me a pilot. We did it. I have to tell you the pilot. I was a stand-up comic still then.
Yeah.
And I did the pilot, 25 minutes. I did the rehearsal in a rehearsal room where if you wanted a telephone, it would be a toilet roll holder, you know, two posts for a door. You know, it was all absolutely... And I did this show as just like stand-up, as a 25-minute monologue. And the staff, who were so hardened with all these things, they never react, you know, the cameramen and the lighting men, they all stood and applauded.
Oh.
Knew we got something really, it was just wonderful. We knew, and suddenly I was at home, do you know my daughter Zoe now, she does It Takes Two.
Yeah.
With all the dancers for Strictly. It's the same luck. Suddenly I was in a place where I was just so happy, so in my element, so fulfilling it was for me, and it was all tremendous.
How wonderful. And you made maths interesting for people that didn't really have to like it. I mean, I was a geek and I loved your shows, but I knew many people who would watch them who really didn't like maths that much.
That's right, and they did. And so I did inspire people, lots of it. One, you know, so many people, not just hundreds, so many people have come up to me and say, I became a scientist, an engineer, technology because of you.
Mm.
One day, somebody would come up and say, I chose to be an engineer because of you, and they're going to knee me in the groin because they didn't like it.
Now, for those who have got slightly less good memories than maybe others, your favourite shows were Think of a Number, Think Again. And one, I'm not sure you get away with this now as a title, Johnny Ball Reveals All.
Yeah, we did that for Central, for ITV. But it didn't work with ITV. Isn't it funny?
Yeah.
An atmosphere that we were seeing, the same atmosphere could not be created with ITV. So I did five series with them.
Wow.
And, I didn't reveal myself completely. But there were good times. I wrote 20 series altogether, you know, and it was a wonderful time.
I do recall you doing some quite out there things that you probably wouldn't get away with because of health and safety. You know, you did, like, I think you did one where you kind of were coming out of a room full of fire.
Yeah, we had sort of flats and they were covered in, it wouldn't happen now, would it? They were covered in an asbestos sheet. And what you get is Evo stick, the adhesive you stick laminates with, you know, on kitchen tops and things like that. And you just cake it on like you're making toast on the whole wall. And you set fire to that. And, oh, it burns brilliantly.
God.
And it's quite safe because it will only burn itself. And it, you know, but I was stood in this sort of area outside the door I was coming through, dressed as the devil, with a trident in my hand, with fireworks, so the trident would explode, and me devil's tail with a firework in that, so that would explode later. And they said, and 10 seconds, 5, 4, 3, and they lit the gas and set fire to the walls. And I said, no, it's for the titles. The titles ran for 20 seconds. I stood in an inferno.
Oh, my goodness me. And is it true that you bumped into the BBC studio safety officer and told him not to go anywhere near the studio when you were going to do it?
Yes, that was Gavin, and he said, all right, I won't go. He said, oh, I could come to Bristol on that day. So he said, no, Gavin, what we're saying is don't go within 50 miles of Bristol on that day.
Love it. And there's another great story where you had £250,000 worth of jewellery, the greatest insurance for any one event that the BBC ever took out.
That was just male jewellery on me. We had a girl dressed completely in diamonds. We had another dressed completely in emeralds. We had the De Beer Fancies. The De Beer Fancies. De Beer is a great diamond, arguably the biggest diamond company in the world. And they have these fancy diamonds. You know an artist's palette where you put your finger through it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, they have one of those in toughened glass. And stuck on it with araldite are all these diamonds. Now you think, oh, you could chip them off. You can't chip them off. They are absolutely solid.
Mm.
And only with a smidgen of araldite, and they're stuck on. And they're every colour going from white through the green, like a rainbow.
Yeah.
To the reds, greens, and then the blues, and then, oh, and they were good. And they said, how much is your insurance? And we said, $5 million. They said, you forget it, they'll be insured by us. Because it's priceless, just priceless, you know.
Wow. And is it true that you switched the day of that particular recording just so that anybody who was planning to raid us wouldn't do a heist? But actually, thieves did break in and didn't steal them, but stole the computers.
Precisely. We said we'd do it on a Sunday and announced it. We couldn't do a midweek because all the people couldn't get there, and it was much too difficult to have the security we required. So we did it. We told them we were doing it on a Sunday, but we knew what we were doing. Well, I didn't. Frankly, I didn't, but about three people knew. And at the last minute, literally on the Friday, they said, no, it's tomorrow. Right? And we did it on the Saturday. And, of course, there was security all the way around it. Honestly, there was a security man each side of the camera that was looking at me. I always had a master camera that followed me everywhere. And each side of it was a heavy.
Oh, thank
God. We tooled up and everything, you know. And there were people there with stuff and they had handcuff bracelets. Right, and then they would take their stuff out, put it in, and as soon as they did it, they'd put it back in the box and lock it up again.
My
and they were tackled to their wrists and things. But while we were doing it, the thieves beautifully, I mean so cleverly, broke into the offices which were deserted and stole all the computers.
Oh my goodness me, that's a wonderful story.
Let's talk about now with maths. I mean, technology has revolutionised the way people live their lives. And I remember at school, you know, I think we were probably one of the first to be allowed to use calculators in an exam in the O-levels. Do you think people care less about maths now than they ever did because they can't be bothered to learn it because they've got it on their phone?
It's crazy that we teach maths the way we do, because how often do you need to multiply two numbers in your life? So why don't you do it? Because you've forgotten it. Now, why can't you do it now? Well, it doesn't matter, and you've got to calculate it. So to say you're not interested in maths, I'll tell you what you're interested in. You're interested in your job, and you're interested in your social life and your family life.
Yeah.
That's what is predominant. Now, if that involved maths, you'd be interested in the maths, you know?
Yeah.
So technologists use it. So this is crazy, spending so much time getting kids to understand things they aren't going to really use. So you've got to teach it more broadly, and the colour. So I've just produced this book, which is possibly the reason I'm talking to you today. Wonders Beyond Numbers, A Brief History of All Things Mathematical. And it's just come out, and it's taken me 4 years to write. But what I wanted it to be, I've read histories of mathematics. They're not easy. And what this is the easiest to read history of mathematics ever. I'm sure it is, and people are starting to say that. And it's lovely. And it mentions my double nine dominoes at the very beginning, and lots of other things. And it's just full of stories. The mass is there, but it's not going to bog you down, and sometimes it's in blocks. So you can bypass it. Or what you could do with a particular puzzle, like you could come back a bit like a crossword puzzle or a Sudoku puzzle and spend 10 minutes on it. Oh, I understand now, because it is understandable if you give it a little time. But it's lovely. The first day it hit the press, it was sold in Russia. 5 days later, it was sold in China, and they had to have an auction because so many publishing houses wanted it in China. So the book is out now, and it will be lovely. I've just had an email this morning, honestly, from a kid who saw the Russian multiplying, which is once again at the very beginning of the book. And I can't do it on radio, I am sorry. But I'll do a bit of maths for you, if you like. But I can't do that. But I got an email back. So my son is 9. He saw it in your show at Henley. I did the show at Henley. He told his teacher about it. They did an assembly in front of the whole school. He showed it. Everybody applauded. They thought it was absolutely wonderful, and it's just so easy to do, you know. I'll give you a maths thing here.
Go on.
Remember, give me any two numbers in their 90s.
93 and 97.
93 and 97. 21, that's the back end, right? 90. 9021, that's the two multiplied together.
Wow.
Now, I'll tell you how to do it very quickly. And then it's called Vedic maths, V-E-D-I-C. And if you Google that, any listeners, Google Vedic maths, and when it comes up, do images of Vedic maths, and you'll see lots and lots of images and how it works. I won't go into detail how it works, but it's so beautiful. And that's in the book. So it's not taxing.
One of the things about the book is it's kind of in written form what your TV shows were like, because, you know, it wasn't taxing to watch your TV shows, but you still learned something.
Well, I'm glad. I hope the TV producers are listening, because I'm to turn it into a TV series.
Yeah.
Just like Think of a Number, but for adults. When we did our shows, you know, because our figures were very big, we were enormous figures, you know, we out Blue Peter for most of the time. But Blue Peter was, it was more difficult with Blue Peter. They're on all the time, if you like, and, you know, it gets passe. And that was a great program. But they found 70% of our audience were adults. And I think that's what helped, and it was the adults that showed the kids, and everybody enjoyed it. And that's the secret of just keeping it simple.
Yeah.
So So that's what the book's like. It's so simple to read. It's so easy to understand if you give it a bit of time. Shall I give you a few instances that you'd love?
I'd like to know, Johnny, actually, from the book, about the mathematician who everybody has heard of but who may not have existed.
Yeah, well, that's Pythagoras, and that's quite amazing. Because Pythagoras wouldn't allow anybody to write anything down. He was very secretive. He wouldn't allow them to write it down. When he died, a generation or so later, people started to write about the maths. But every one of them, there were only three or four or five, but every one of them always wrote, the Pythagoreans said this, the Pythagoreans did that. Not one ever wrote the word Pythagoras said. So was it a cult? And if you trace Pythagoras in Spanish, there's a Pitacora or anchor, yeah. I think, or helmsman. And people in Spain would tell me that. Pitacora is Pythagoras. It's the same word, you know, it's the same yeah. root. So could it have been a cult that the man at the helm and the man at, you know, an anchor, something, you know, that would be a good name for a cult, wouldn't it?
Extreme.
It's like a religion is your anchor, if you like,
yeah.
and it could have been it. So he might, however, the stories that he did exist are rife, you know, the stories that he dressed in flowing robes with unkempt hair. He was said to have appeared in two places at the same time. He was said to have heard voices. He was said to have identified a dog and said to a fellow, stop beating that dog. I can tell by the bark that it's an old friend of mine who died some years ago and is reincarnated as a dog. all kinds of stories like that. And his mother, he was never married, his mother had a name which translated is virgin. So white flowing robes.
Wow.
Miracles, and suddenly you realise 500 years later, there's another character. My joys, they're so similar.
Wow.
So all I can do is just put it there and say, well, what do we think about that?
How interesting.
Worth thinking about.
Definitely. You know? Pythagoras may not have existed.
Existed, yeah.
But his theorem certainly did.
Yeah, pardon?
His theorem certainly did.
Before him. Oh, long before him. It wasn't his. I mean, in fact, in the book I say, all right, Pythagoras, whose theorem was it really? There's a wonderful book some years ago. I didn't find it, but I found reference to it, and by two Americans. It said, was Pythagoras really Chinese? Because the Chinese went mad on Pythagoras' theorem, did all kinds of things, much far in advance of what the Greeks did and what we did in Europe until much later.
Wow.
About Columbus, the lovely stories about Columbus. He sailed west and found the West Indies, because he thought he'd found the Indies.
Yep.
Going west instead of east. And he said, oh, this is the Indies. This is Eastern Asia, you see. If you bore a hole through the earth, we landed at the same latitude, you come out of the Philippines.
Right.
In actual fact, he hadn't discovered the Indies. He was a half a world away from the Indies. Why? Because the map he had was not the accurate map. The map we had, the Greeks saw two estimates of the size of the Earth, and they saw the big one and said, nah, it can't be that big, there's so much we don't know. It must be the smaller one. So his map told him the Earth was only two-thirds the size it was. Had he known the true size of the Earth, he would never have gone in the first.
Whoa, what a great story. I'm going to ask you a favour now, Johnny. Ever since I did maths to A-level, but in O-level, I think it was O-level, we were forced for some reason to learn how to solve a quadratic equation. And it was stuck with me for the rest of my life. X equals minus B plus or minus the square root of B squared minus 4AC all over 2A. I have never even got close to using that. Please tell me what use it is.
Oh, there's lots and lots of uses for quadratic equations. You can solve all kinds of problems. It's too difficult on radio to go into this. but you see, maths is... Right, we're living today in a world that you could describe as an upturned pyramid.
Yep.
We're growing exponentially. Our understanding of the world grows exponentially. So if you like, the base, which is now at the top, because it's turning upside down, getting bigger and bigger. Our technology is just booming and branching out in all different directions, and exponentially. And it's all founded by maths. Mm. Maths underpins everything we do. The shape of a car, a modern car today, is so complex, and it's got to be done mathematically by machines who have the software to crunch the mathematics. And it's the same mathematics there that they use for computer games.
Mm.
Three-dimensional images, moving things around and things like that. So all this is connected. And if you go into these careers, you will be handling amazing mathematics, but it'll be in the software.
Yeah.
And all you'll do is know to trust it and know it's going to give you the right answer and help you to do amazing things. So that's what the world is like. And then I say to kids, you know, when they say, or young people, what should we tell the kids? The future of the world is brighter than we can even imagine.
Mm.
You know, and people write sci-fi. Believe me, the stuff we're doing now is, even today in 2017, is much just as strong as the sci-fi that was written 50 years ago.
Yeah. I've got to ask you a final question. And I've met your daughter several times because I was involved in radio in the UK. How was Zoe at maths? Did you force her to learn maths?
I always say this about your kids. You can teach your kids nothing, but they learn everything from you. They learn by being around you, and they learn to... But once you say... Have you ever tried to teach a teenager to drive, who is your own son or daughter?
Mm.
It's a row within 5 minutes. I know, I'm not stupid! Easily. And that's what happened. So, no, I never sat down and say, hey, come here, I'll show you, I'll teach you maths. In fact, my boys... Zoe was a bit older when I was doing the program. The boys were in school, and the one teacher said, ah, no, I've got Johnny Ball's program this last week, is fabulous, I'm going to show you. And they would duck under the desk.
Oh.
They hated watching, it was so embarrassing. And then the kids would be saying, oh, fantastic. And they come home and say, what did you do, Dad? Oh. What did you do? They're all saying it's fantastic. So I get the tape, put it in the machine and say, there you are, watch it. Oh. They would go out of the room again.
That's fantastic.
Because it's embarrassing.
Anyway. Love it. Well, listen, the book is wonderful. It's called Wonders Beyond Numbers, A Brief History of All Things Mathematical. And I and many others would like to thank you, Johnny, for making maths fun for all of my life. And I'm sure a lot of people feel the same.
It's lovely to talk to you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
And everybody out there.
Thanks, Johnny. Take care. Bye-bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.